Romans 12 and verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. My name is Russ Earle. Thank you for joining me today here on The Christian American, a podcast brought to you by the Ulaga Church of Christ.
Thank you for being here with me today here on The Christian American. We are going to continue looking at what can the Christian do. We've talked about previously about how our nation and any nation that goes against God can fall and will stand to face the wrath of God, if not in this time, but then at the judgment. But what are some practical things in which we can do, some practical applications of which we can do to help our nation and to encourage our nation to turn back to God? Well, we can research, and then we can vote accordingly. In order to do our part, we must be wise. Now, it is not my desire to endorse any candidate, and I will not do such, because, let's be honest, a politician is a politician. We must research matters before we cast our vote. We must ensure that we are voting on biblical principles, and not for other reasons. Notice Romans 1 and verse 32. Where the Bible says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things, that is the sinful lifestyle, are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves that our vote isn't just voting for something we're in favor of, but it could be voting to approve things in which we are not in favor of. Secondly, we must speak up. There are various offices and branches of government which we can contact, either through email or through the written letter. And so we must take advantage of that, and whether or not we believe, actually believe someone will read those things and take it to heart, regardless of such, we must do whatever we can to make sure our voice is heard, whether or not those things are being taken seriously or not. We cannot make anyone listen, but we don't have to stand by and do nothing. The next point we want to consider is that we must stand up for Christian beliefs and godly morals, both publicly and privately. Let's think about what it means to stand up for God, and let's go to Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Here the Bible says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. And so the image, the response here of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is very clear. They will not worship this false god, this image, in which Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And so we must stand up for God as well. We also find another example of boldness and standing up for God by Peter and John in Acts 4 and verses 18 through 20. But as we prepare to conclude our time together today, we must realize that we must uphold our nation as it once was, a Christian nation. There are those who argue this point, however history will show it to be true, that this nation was founded upon Christian morality and Christian standards. Notice the words of George Washington during his speech to the Delaware Indian chiefs on May 12th in 1779. He says, "You do well to wish to learn our arts and our ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ. Congress will do everything they can to assist you in this wise intention." Do you notice what George Washington just told these individuals? That Congress, that the U.S. government, will help them not only learn about the arts and ways of American life, but also to learn about Jesus Christ. Don't you wish such things would happen today? Let's conclude with another quote, this time by Benjamin Franklin. History will also afford frequent opportunities of showing the necessity of a public religion and the excellency of the Christian religion above all others, ancient or modern. You know what Benjamin Franklin just said? all these other religions, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, all those things, he says they are beneath the Christian religion. How did he say that? Because he says the excellency, the Christian religion, above all others, ancient or modern. Those types of things, those types of teachings is what this nation was founded upon. Let's never forget that. Thank you for listening today to the Christian American, and we hope you'll join us again next time for another edition.